This is KUT.
Austin.
Stop. Austin likes to think of itself as a progressive city. For many, the label is a point of pride and they would never doubt it. But for some, it doesn't ring true. Lakia Omagun is a doctoral student at UT Austin's College of Education. She recently wrote about what it's like to experience this city as a black woman. In her essay, The Truth About Being a Black Woman in a Liberal City, she asks readers to think about what it means to call Austin progressive. KUT's Nadia Hamdan talked with Omagun about what her life's been like since she moved to Austin from Harlem in 2016.
I think when you move to a new place, you're a huge part is getting settled in and like finding your community and figuring out the city and finding your places and your spaces. And that transition for me was really difficult first because, granted, I went to a PWI like for undergrad, so I know what it means to be in a predominantly white space. However, when I came to Austin, I tell people my first week, I went a full first week without seeing a black person, and I was like, what? Like, this is real.
You point out in the article that a few months after you arrived, mm-hmm. the 2016 presidential election was in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us the significance of this event in connection with your move to Austin.
Yeah. The day that Donald Trump won, I just decided to get out of the house and go grab something to eat. And so I was walking and there was like a long line of cars and they were all like lined up. And this one guy in particular was in a pickup truck and he was kind of like chanting and things like that. And so I had to wait to pause at the intersection of the street. And when I crossed, he was just like, move out of the way, nigga. And I was like, what? Like, is this really happening right now?
Was this the first time something like this had happened to you?
Yeah, that was actually the first event. And it was also the first one that was just so in your face, kind of. I mean, granted, I still every day, like, just go through, like, subtle microaggressions and things like that. But that was the first. And I was like, oh, shoot, this is my home. And this is where I'm going to be doing my PhD program for the next few years.
What were you feeling?
Good question. In that moment, I didn't feel, and I was really intentional about not allowing myself to feel. I didn't begin to feel until probably like a month later or so, late November, December, just starting to wonder, like, did I make the right decision? Could I have studied elsewhere? You know, is it worth it? Just thinking about the role that place and the environment plays on your mental health, if I'm going to be quite honest, physical health, and what that means to exist and thrive. Because being in a PhD program has its own set of rigor and challenges. But when you couple racially motivated things, that's like a whole nother layer that you have to begin to grapple with in addition to all the other things that you have to do.
Right.
So.
And that incident, mm-hmm. You say, was the first of many racist experiences,
yeah.
Unfortunately, that you've endured while living in Austin. Even beyond, you know, kind of these bigger events, you talk a lot about microaggressions.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, yes. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a better sense of some of the microaggressions that you deal with on a day-to-day that maybe you weren't experiencing when you were living back in Harlem, but, you know, you're experiencing more acutely here in Austin?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, just sometimes, like, when I walk into a place, obviously, like, you know, the clenching of, like, the purse or just, like, the long gazes or just, you know, like, when you come around, just, like, certain movements or shifts that'll occur. The assumption that I don't have the background and the educational experiences that I have. I mean, I have one woman because I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. And she was like, wait, but you're from Detroit. So like, how did you end up going to college and how did you end up going, like getting in a PhD program? So like questions like that just baffle me. And this is also a woman who, you know, works with low-income communities, and she does charitable work, and she has this quote-unquote benevolent character, and she's doing the work, but she can't wrap her mind around, like, how me, a Black woman who grew up, you know, in Detroit City, made it this far. So for her, she was just trying to unlock and unsolve the mystery. And for me, I'm like, there is no mystery. Like, the fact that you're posing this question is problematic
in itself.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. things like that.
Right.
And you can feel it. It's not necessarily something that you can describe per se, but it's definitely, you know, that there's something there. And that is what makes being in certain places not feel the most welcoming.
So what I'm gathering, especially because, you know, before you moved here, Austin mm-hmm. was painted to you as a liberal progressive city. And I mm-hmm. think you're taking issue mostly within your article and through this conversation. I'm understanding that for you, the label of liberal is disingenuous given your experience and that of, you know, other people of color who have mm-hmm. lived in this city.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate what you mean when you say disingenuous?
I think we have to ask ourselves, well, who describes it as liberal? Who describes it as progressive? Generally, I haven't really heard that perspective too much from people like myself. And so when I say it's disingenuous, it's almost like, a badge of honor that we are this city. We are this city, and we're not like the rest of Texas. And we are open to these like progressive ideas, and we have certain flags or certain, you know, democratic signs or labels, and we play this music. I see that as very surface level. And it's less about what you can see and more about the actions, again, and what's embodied and how do you treat people when they come into a space? But how do you welcome people, right? Like, because you can say one thing, you can profess one thing, but I don't believe that, you know, it's something that necessarily has to be professed. If that's who you are or if that's what the city is, there doesn't necessarily need to be like this declaration or this profession of who we are, because you would be able to feel it. You would be embraced by it.
Lakia Omagan is a doctoral student at UT Austin's College of Education. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.